I was just out and about. Thought I'd see if anybody wanted to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast's Daily NBA Show, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
What up, friends? Thanks for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast Daily NBA Show. You know who it is, your homie Jeff Clark. We got a 10-game slate Wednesday, January 26th in the NBA. I have three best bets. Four best bets. My best bets are the Milwaukee Bucks -4.5. I'm taking the Raptors, Toronto Raptors +3.5. I'm taking the San Antonio Spurs +4.5. And then I'm taking the Phoenix Suns money line, which is priced at -130 currently. All of these odds are provided by our friends and sponsor of this podcast, Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico Sportsbook is a global sports betting leader that's now live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with their fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. New users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. You can get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older, so please see Tipico's website for details. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Please gamble responsibly, y'all. All right, let's discuss Tuesday's Bet Slippin' Podcast performance. I was 1-2, moving my week record down to my record of this week down to 3-2. My record this month is 24-19. I whiffed with the under 219.5 in the Los Angeles Clippers Wizards game. The Clippers beat the Wizards 116-135 in just an outrageous game that should have never really gone over the total. Washington led at 35 points at one time. They led 66-36 at the end of the first half. And the Clippers scored 80 points in the second half in a freak comeback win. The over appeared to, or the total appeared to sail over. The game appeared to sail over the total. But that's not really what happened. It was just kind of a freak occurrence. So we got a lucky one on Monday with Oklahoma City. So we gave one back. No big deal. It's just the pitfalls of sports gambling or betting the NBA or any sport really at that high of a volume. So you just take the lumps and move on. I actually have two incredibly bad beat stories that I'm going to save for the NFL podcast this past weekend, the NFL divisional round. So it just comes with the territory. Sorry if you followed me on this and you're pissed about the results, but hey, this is buyer beware, I guess. But this is kind of how it goes for sports betting. I did win. My only win yesterday was at the Lakers, -2.5. They handled business against Brooklyn, beating them 106-96, and Anthony Davis's return to action. LeBron remains a legend, put up 33-7-6 on 67% field goal shooting, was just absolutely outstanding. And Lakers covered that relatively easily. Mavericks, we lost with, took them +3.5. They got smacked by the Golden State Warriors by damn near 40 points. Lost 130-92. Don't have much of a recap or analysis on this one. Just Dallas just didn't have it last night. I mean, I feel strong about my handicap going into the game, how Dallas was trending and how Golden State was trending, specifically Steph Curry, who's continued to struggle, didn't play very well last night, but didn't really matter. Dallas just got the absolute tar beaten out of him by Golden State. So not much to say there, not many excuses, just going to move on. So on to Wednesday, again, I have four best bets. We'll start with the first one. Obviously, my best bet with the Milwaukee Bucks, -4.5 as they visit the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland is a surprising 29-19. Bucks are 30-19 right now. So two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee beat Sacramento Saturday, so they had 3 days off, but they didn't cover that game. So it was a 133-127 win. They couldn't cover as 8-point favorites. Cleveland also won, but didn't cover in its last game, beating the Knicks 95-93 as 5-point home favorites. It was their seventh win in the last eight games, but they failed to cover the spread for the last three games. And Cleveland's 1-1 straight up, but 2-0 against the spread versus Milwaukee this season. They did beat them in their last meeting 119-90, but the Bucks were without all of their big three, Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Jrue Holiday for that game. Before Cleveland's victory over Milwaukee in their last meeting, Milwaukee won eight straight and covered six of those eight meetings. So that's definitely a factor into this handicap. And I just kind of think the Bucks are kind of we're buying them low and maybe selling the Cavs high. I mean, Milwaukee has its big three ready to roll. And when Giannis, Middleton, Holiday are all on the floor, Milwaukee's got a plus 10.9 adjusted net rating, which would grade in the 95th percentile for lineups, according to cleaningtheglass.com. Also, Jrue Holiday is just the perfect defender for Darius Garland. Darius Garland's the breakout point guard for Cleveland. Has just played awesome this year. Could make the All-Star game, and I love his game. But Jrue Holiday is the perfect perimeter defender for him, and they also have an above-average perimeter defender back there. Milwaukee does, and Dante DiVincenzo. Also, Giannis and Middleton are going off in January. Giannis is averaging 31.4 points per game on 52% or 53% shooting. And he's averaging 11 rebounds and 7 assists. He's got a plus 17 net rating this month. So he's balling out. Chris Middleton is also filling it up this month. He's putting up 23.5 points per game on 64% true shooting, which breaks down to 49% from the field, 46% from the three-point line, and 90% from three-point line. He's also got adding 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He's got a plus 9 net rating this month. So both Giannis and Middleton are balling out. They're in the lineup against Cleveland this tonight, and I don't think Cleveland's really sneaking up on anyone right now. Again, I think they're 20. What did I just say? Hold on, they're 29-19, right? So we're more than halfway through the season. Everyone respects, I think, Cleveland, at least in the league, and there isn't. I don't think it's a fluke, and I don't think teams are looking at them as a fluke or overlooking them. Plus, Cleveland could be without two key pieces. Lauri Markkanen is already listed as out, and starting center Jared Allen is listed as questionable. Markkanen is third on Cleveland with an adjusted on-off net rating at plus 4.5 points per 100 possessions. And if no Jared Allen's out there, that really hurts Cleveland's rim protection and rebounding, and Milwaukee will probably own the boards if Jared Allen isn't out there. So let's go with the Bucks. I think we're buying them kind of low here. I'll take it at minus 4.5 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The next game I like is the Toronto Raptors plus 3.5 visiting the Chicago Bulls. Toronto's 23-22. The Bulls are 29-17. Toronto's coming off playing the second of a back-to-back. They beat the crap out of the Charlotte Hornets last night, 125-113, in a game that I leaned on. I leaned Toronto in that spot, but I ended up passing because there was no Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet's still listed as questionable in this game, so I am kind of nervous giving it out as I say that out loud, but Toronto is 3-4 straight up, 4-3 against spread over the last 2 weeks. But neither one of these teams have played very well recently. Chicago did eke past the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 Monday in a game that we got lucky on, won with the Thunder plus 1.5. Talked about that yesterday. And again, Chicago has been really bad the past couple weeks and this month really. But they're 2-6 straight up, 3-4-1 against the spread in the last 14 days. Chicago has been just awful this month. Again, they're dead last in both adjusted net rating at minus 14.4 points per 100 possessions and ATS margin at minus 8.1 ATS differential, according to cleaningtheglass.com. And Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso are both out for Chicago, which is massive. In January, Chicago has the second worst adjusted defensive rating, and ranks 23rd in points off of turnovers allowed per game, 24th in fast break points allowed per game. These are two strengths for Toronto, forcing turnovers and getting out in transition. And with Chicago's weakened backcourt defense, if Fred VanVleet can play, I like this game even more so. But even without him, I think Toronto can get it done. They have a bevy of wings to throw at DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, including Pascal Siakam. Scotty Barnes, who is listed as questionable and is worth noting, and OG Anunoby. But hopefully we get some good injury luck. Scotty Barnes and Fred VanVleet, I think with those names on the injury report and this Toronto price still being somewhat cheap, feels slightly trappy for Chicago. There's also some value in Toronto on the second of a back-to-back. They're an NBA's best, 6-1 against the spread on zero rest days. They have the best ETS margin at 8.6, the third best adjusted net rating on the second of a back-to-back. So let's take the Raptors +3.5. On to the next game, Grizzlies visiting the Memphis Grizzlies visiting the San Antonio Spurs. Grizzlies are one of the best teams in the league, 32-17. Spurs are only 18-30 this year. They've significantly struggled. And to be honest, if we lose with the Spurs in this one, I might put them on the blacklist. But Memphis lost 104-91 to Dallas Sunday. They're 3-3 straight up and against the spread over the last 2 weeks. San Antonio crushed the Houston Rockets by 30 points last night. They're 3-5 straight up and against the spread over the last 2 weeks. But this could be a look-ahead spot for Memphis. They're in the last of a four-game road trip, and they play Utah on Friday. Utah eliminated from the playoffs last season. They go back home. Maybe they're just looking past the Spurs, seeing that they have the Jazz on their schedule and are a lot more amped up for that game. Also, Memphis could be without missing players or could be without key contributors again for this game. Desmond Bane is listed as questionable, and Brandon Clark is listed as questionable as well. Desmond Bane has been an awesome backcourt player for Memphis. And if he can't go or is a still not at 100% because he's coming off the health and safety protocols list, that makes me feel even better about San Antonio. Of course, Memphis is still without Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, who's a major missing piece from Memphis, and backup guard Tyus Jones. But these teams are pretty similar in style and makeup. But Ja Morant is most likely the most improved player this season. But DeJounte Murray, the point guard for San Antonio, has just been balling this month. This dude's got career highs and everything, but his production's ticked up in January. He's up to 23 points per game in January, 9 rebounds, 10 assists in these 12 games this month. So he's been playing very, very well and is at least someone that the Spurs can have go toe-to-toe or mano-a-mano versus Ja Morant. Jakob Poeltl and Steven Adams, for the most part, cancel each other out. And I kind of feel the same way about Jaren Jackson and Keldon Johnson. So getting points with the Spurs at home, it's a possible look-ahead spot for Memphis. And San Antonio has been playing in better form over the last 14 days, despite their unimpressive record. They got a +2.8 adjusted net rating, which is ranked 10th, and they got a +0.3 ATS margin, which is ranked 17th. So they're matching Vegas expectations and playing with a little more net efficiency, whereas Memphis has got a -4.4 adjusted net rating, which is 22nd over the last 2 weeks, and they're 26th in ATS margin at -4.5. So let's take the Spurs -4.5 for our third best bet. And then the final game I have here on my sheet, I'm going with the Phoenix Suns -130 against the Jazz. I gave out the over in this game as a best bet on Monday, which we hit on. I leaned to the Jazz against the spread when the write-up that I did for the presenting website, sportsbookwire.com, that ended up getting home. But the Phoenix Suns beat Utah 115-118 or 108 Monday in the first of this home and away back-to-back. They couldn't cover as 12-point underdogs, but Phoenix has won, or 12-point favorites. Phoenix was. They were such heavy favorites against Utah because Utah was out without all five of its starters and backup Joe Ingles. Phoenix has won seven straight. They're 4-3 against the spread over those last over that span. But Utah has really struggled recently. They're 2-8 straight up and 2-7-1 against the spread in their last 10 games. I don't feel great about taking a home favorite, and there's been a lot of reverse line movement. Most of the money's coming in on Phoenix, but the line is moving away from them and is making Utah more expensive. So I'm a little wary of that, but some things that Chris Paul said on his on-court post-game interview after Monday's Suns-Jazz game gives me a lot of confidence in Phoenix in this spot. Chris Paul mentioned that he should be more aggressive in pick and roll action because he noticed Utah has to play drop coverage versus the pick and roll with Rudy Gobert sidelined with injury. Now, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are both going to be missing this game. Obviously, that's huge for Utah in a couple different areas. Gobert hurts their rim protection, pick and roll defense, rebounding, and pick and roll action on offense as well. Donovan Mitchell gives them their the absence of Donovan Mitchell is the loss of a one of Utah's lone shot creators. The only other one really being Jordan Clarkson. Actually, Bogdanović is as well, but Bogdanović, I think he's currently in the lineup. And the Suns are without two of their bigs, DeAndre Ayton and Javal McGee. But that brings me to the next point that CP3 made in his post-game interview with the TNT crew, I believe, after the Jazz-Suns meeting on Monday. And that was him just pointing out that Biombo has given Phoenix some really good minutes this year. He's a recent signee. His hustle and screen-setting skills have definitely aided Phoenix in recent weeks or in recent games since they've been without a couple of bigs. But Biombo is actually plus 12.4 in adjusted on-off net rating, which is in the 94th percentile of centers. Now, grant, he's played limited minutes, but at least he doesn't have to face Rudy Gobert and gets to go against backup Utah big Hassan Whiteside, who really plays no defense, and Chris Paul can just abuse in the pick and roll. So we like Phoenix because of that, and I also think Phoenix might push the pace because they're missing JaVale McGee and DeAndre Ayton. They're 10th in fast break frequency and 3rd in fast break offensive efficiency, and it's actually a weakness for Utah's defense, or 28th in fast break defensive efficiency. No Rudy Gobert also just hurts their defense. So Phoenix also gets up for big games, and I don't think they're going to be taking it easy on Utah since Utah gave them hell Monday. They're 1st and 2nd in net rating, Phoenix and Utah is, but Phoenix is 3rd in adjusted net rating versus top 10 teams, and they're 5-3 against the spread on the road versus winning teams. However, Utah is just 2-7 against the spread at home versus winning teams. So we're going to take the Suns minus 130. Quick recap on my best bets on the Wednesday NBA January 26th slate. I'm taking the Bucks minus 4.5. when they visit the Cleveland Cavaliers, going with the Raptors plus 3.5 as they visit the Chicago Bulls, taking the Spurs plus 4.5 hosting the Memphis Grizzlies, and then the Phoenix Suns minus 130 on the money line as they host the Utah Jazz. Best of luck, whether you fade or follow me. I'll be talking to you guys tomorrow. Peace out.
Thought I'd see if anybody wants to play some round ball.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast Daily NBA Show, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.